Well, today you are in for a treat. Today I have my friend Sarah Jane Shorthose, who is a senior photographer, and she has a very, very interesting story to tell. We talk about how her move from one state to another prompted a radical decision to not only buy a photo bus for her business, but also to run her business in two locations in very different ways. I loved this conversation with Sarah Jane. It gives so much insight into how you can do business creatively, how you can run a profitable business, but it doesn't have to look like anybody else's. So if you're looking for maybe some different ideas or just the courage to do something different with your business, I really, really highly suggest you listen to this entire episode. Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enphoto, hosted by Dori Howell. You're in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. Well, as you heard in the introduction, I'm really excited to have my friend Sarah Jane Shorthose with me today. And she is a photographer. And I could tell you a whole bunch of wonderful, wonderful things about her and her business and just her heart for the industry and her heart for her clients. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to force her to do that. And just welcome to the show, Sarah. And why don't we just jump right into it? And let's start out. And how'd you get into this photography gig?
Oh, I have been doing this forever. I actually got my first camera when I was 12, and that started this whole thing in motion.
So that was like last year, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, exactly.
Yes, my business actually will turn, oh my gosh, 20 next year.
Wow.
So 20
So you're even ahead
years.
Of me.
Yeah. It was a mess at the beginning because I was a mess. I was 16 when I started officially and went to school for photography, did all that jazz, and then finally got my big kid job and went full time for myself in 2010. Okay. So not as long that I've been full time, but it is the only I call big kid job that I have ever had. Mm-hmm. And mostly in Illinois. I've been in Illinois for most of that time. We moved out there for my husband's job, took us where there was no family, no connection, and I started everything over. And then just 18 months ago, we did that in reverse, and we moved again. So I am starting over / expanding, not quite a start over, just a transition. But I have been doing portraits that entire time. Did weddings for a while, but I did officially walk away from weddings. So high school seniors.
Weddings are a different beast, man. Not a lot of people want to do weddings. Like after you've done it for a while, you're like, I got to do something different. I just can't do this anymore, right?
Yes. I think you either double down and it's your jam and you love it and you become a wedding photographer truly and that's your passion or you peace out. And I peaced out and I love my high school seniors, my commercial clients, families. But yeah, I'm out of the wedding game.
Well, you know, I never really officially did weddings. And it was one of those things where I get called for weddings. So if someone like was getting married in the backyard and the garden, like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But I'm not signing up for a 14-hour wedding day. That's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
You cannot pay me enough money to do that. I mean, I guess, yeah, someone could. There's probably a price out there
There's a number.
I'm not going to tell you that, I guess. But yeah, that's just not something that I look forward that I would want to do. And so when I do get calls, because, you know, this is total side note. You and I both know this, that you can put anything you want on your website, what you specialize in, what you're so good in. And then all of a sudden you have someone calling you, well, do you do passport pictures?
Yes.
No. Yeah. Sorry. I don't. I don't have the special machine that cuts the pictures. I can't do that. Right.
Absolutely. Or it just that's not my joy. I don't have joy from taking passport photos. And the post office will take care of you.
Yeah. They absolutely will. And the reason that came to mind is that we just renewed and we let my daughter's passport expire. And so we had to go through the whole process. And I was running all over town to like the UPS store and FedEx and CVS to try and get my daughter's passport pictures taken. And my husband was like, this is really ridiculous. And I'm like, the whole thing is I don't have the machine that cuts them, right?
Yes.
Because you need a social machine. And we didn't know that the post office would take her photos for us. So I spent a whole day
doing this.
Oh.
And I'm like, we could have just done it right here. But it's okay. Total sidebar. So you landed, you really do like to specialize in seniors. Is that kind of your jam?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, that is what I feel like when you first start, you kind of try on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I started probably about 5 years into it to really listen to myself and what did I light up after. And at the time, I really dreaded even newborns. I like them better now that I've had my own kids. But I just loved seniors. I loved that I could be creative, that I could let them be creative, and that they could listen to me and not be, you know, two-year-olds.
They don't pee on you.
Like they newborns. Do not. They do not pee on you. They do not. I love photographing pets too, but they don't jump on you. They listen. You know, my girls love doubling down. I love their excitement. So it is a big day for them. And when I can see people who absolutely want to be on session, that is just so much joy. I loved it.
Yeah. Now, do you primarily work with girls for your seniors?
Honestly, you would think. I would say I'm probably about 60-40. I get a lot of boys. I get a lot of boys, boy moms who found me, boy moms who are excited to be there. So I feed off their excitement, and it's become a personal mission of mine. If I can get the guy by the end of the session to be like, yes, okay, that was great. That was not as bad. I love that. So it becomes a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Because some of those boys, they're not so into doing this for their mom, even for their mom. They love their moms, but you know, it's a funny age when they're having these pictures taken, and it takes a little bit of effort to get their buy-in. So good for you. Good for you for going for that, because that's not
I will definitely call them out on it too. Yeah. I feel like my personality is I will just dive in and be like, come on, mom got you through 18 years. We can give her 35 minutes.
Right. I'm like that with dads. So when I do family sessions and I can see a dad is really, really just being a pain in the butt and has given mom you can tell when they get out of the car at a family session, if he has just given her such a really, really hard time at a session, I will pull a dad aside and say, listen, I'm going to try and make this as painless for you as possible. I want to get through this as quick as possible for you. If you can at least for the next 40 minutes, depending on the age of the kids and that kind of stuff, just pretend that this is the most fun you've ever had with your family and your wife and your kids that you love so much. Just work with me here. We will be out of here so much sooner than if you come at me with that sour smile. Yeah. Like this is fun. And if they're boy dads, it's a little bit different because I deal with my boys. You know, girls, it's like the princesses. And boys, we're dealing with bodily functions. So it's very different, right?
Yes.
To get the smiles and the genuine laughs out of them. But I will call a dad out and be like, dude, you can't, don't do this. Like, it's 40 minutes.
Yeah. It's painless. It's shorter than every golf game there's ever been.
Right. The only really time I really, really felt bad about that, I know we're on a total sidebar here, but I really felt bad about that, was that a mom had planned a session, and we didn't know when it was planned. He was a diehard Green Bay Packers fan. I'm talking diehard. He might as well have gotten out of the car with the cheese head hat on his head. Like, and it was a playoff Sunday, and the Packers were playing.
Oh, no.
And I saw this, and he was mad. And I was just like, I have 15 minutes before this dad like implodes on me and he was listening to the game, and I'm just like, okay, let's do it. We're going, come on, and just get that taken care of as soon as possible for him. And the images turned out okay, but I know that had it not been that situation, I would have gotten much more genuine, you know, happy looks from him. But even then I'm like, you know what? He's probably a jerk in football season and has to watch every single game, but that's not my dynamic that I have to fight with. I have, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. And if I was like, if my favorite person was performing on Broadway and I had tickets to that show and I couldn't go see it, like, I'd be a little bit bitter too.
Yes.
Like, you know, right?
Yes.
So the men are a little bit different. Okay. All right. Well, let's regroup here because this is not what we came to talk about at all. Right. The reason that I was so excited to have you on the podcast was, first of all, we have been friends I'll use air quotes, even though people can't see that on this. We've been friends for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And we met online. Like a lot of the people that I have come on the podcast were friends that have never met before. And our paths have crossed at different points. And it's always been such a pleasure to speak with you. And I'm like, I really want to get Sarah on. And I was dealing with my podcast assistant, Ellen. And I'm like, she's like, well, I haven't heard back from Sarah. I'm like, just keep trying. We're going to get her. It's okay if schedules are busy. We're going to get her on. And so I'm so glad that you're here to spend a little bit of time with me today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, this is going to be a great conversation because we were talking before we started the recording about how so many people tell you to do certain things in your business, try different things in your business, but there's not a lot of people who actually are acting on that advice. Whether it be educators telling people to try a whole bunch of different things and they're telling people to try things that they've never tried before, or they're, you know, because you can't try everything. So I'm not saying that in a judgmental, negative way. You can't try everything. But usually the things that take the most effort, the most time, the most financial resources are the things that people don't do. And then we lean towards the things that are easy for us. Posting on social media, sending out an email or two, you know, connecting with a friend. Those are the like kind of the low hanging things in the marketing world. And then you have some things like you have done to really set your business apart. And the first thing that I would like to talk about is what you call the photo bus.
Yeah.
I would love for you to explain what the photo bus is, how you came up with this idea, and how it helps your business.
Yeah. So I feel like we all talk about creating, especially with senior portraits, an experience, mm-hmm. you know, start to finish, really doubling down on being more than images. And I've touted that for years and always talked about it. And then I would be on session creating this beautiful experience. You know, they're coming into the dressing room, they're having their favorite snacks, they're getting, if we're doing swag bags or thank you gifts and all this experience. But we would be in the middle of downtown and these girls would be tugging on skinny jeans in August heat in their mom's back of their car or running mm-hmm. into Jimmy John's in a public restroom and being mm-hmm. like, can I use your restroom? And they're carrying their dresses and all of this. And that always stuck out to me for many years as a disconnect. Mm-hmm. We have to change. They want to have, I mean, most of my girls have 5 to 7 outfits for mm-hmm. each of their sessions and maybe multiple sessions. So we're changing 14 times. Mm-hmm. And it was rough. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I dropped this or I forgot this or I ran into Jimmy John's and my strapless bras in the car. And I never loved this. And so it was a pain point in my experience. And I just started thinking, and, you know, my husband was like, oh, let's get a big van. Let's get one of the Mercedes vans, things like this.
The Sprinter vans,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Sprinter vans. And I just, it didn't sing for me. I'm like, you know, okay, but I'm like, that's the creeper van. I don't want to pull mm-hmm, up mm-hmm. in the white van.
Right. With no, so the white van with no
windows, right? No light. Here, hop, let me slide the door open. You hop in the back of my van. What we've been telling our girls not to do since they were 7 years old. Now mm-hmm. we're going to do it. And it just never sang for me. And so I started looking at little buses. And my husband and I, you know, we have a camper. We go camping. You see these renovated schoolies all over the mm-hmm. place. So it started with that. And I started looking and researching and seeing what I could pick one up for. And could I renovate it? You know, could we renovate it for a schoolie? I was researching all of this. And I happened upon one that someone had pretty much fully gutted already. And she was using it very creatively as a boutique. She would take it to markets and she would have her entire boutique inside this bus, roll up and not have the setup that all these people in tents were having to do. And it was beautiful. So mm-hmm. I had thought about it for a while and I'd been thinking about adding it to our Illinois studio. And then when we made the choice to move and move markets away from my beautiful custom design studio where I had created the absolute experience that I wanted my clients to have, I was then moving away from that. And mm-hmm. to me, I needed something. I needed something that, who am I? You know, we know how many photographers there are in a market. How is I going to be different? How are they going to remember who I was? And I no longer had this beautiful studio to stand out mm-hmm. in the market. And so I pulled the trigger on buying this bus. My poor husband tagged along, and he the whole time is rolling his eyes because...
What are you getting us into, Sarah Jane, right?
I mean, on paper, it's a 2001 Chevy bus with 125,000 miles. To a yeah. car guy, he is like, this doesn't make sense. Right, right. Even to the insurance guys, he's like, yeah, we should total this out at maybe $5,000. Mm-hmm. No, we had to express the value a little differently. So he came along, checked it out to make sure it ran well, that I was not getting myself into a paperweight that was going to sit in the yard. And it was more beautiful in person than online. Everything ran well. And we bit the bullet. Mm-hmm. And when I'm pitching this to him, because it's a, you know, investment, all of a sudden I'm going to buy a bus. What are we doing?
Right.
And, you know, studio made sense, all of this. And it was a little confusing. And I like to do what I call non-fatal failures. So pitching, okay, no one ever books it. No one likes it. It's mm-hmm. a dud. It's terrible. I can't drive it. All of the worst negative things that could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. And going, then what do? We sell it. This thing could be marketable to anyone. It could be a boutique. It could be anything. So for us, it was a very non-fatal failure because I knew I could get out of it if I needed to.
It's always a good idea when you're making decisions like this. Like, what's the worst that can happen here? Honestly, what's the worst thing financially? What's the worst thing emotionally? What's the worst thing when it comes to our time? And if you look at that, you're like, I'll be okay. Yeah, let's try it. Let's just try
it. And I love to me coming into a new market, and I had to market myself. And I was either going to yell at social media, mm-hmm. where you sometimes feel like you're just screaming into the void, mm-hmm. and see if it worked and try to get my SEO switched over, which for 11 years has told people I'm in the middle of Illinois, and switch all that over. Or I was going to come in and be the one with the bus. And at least, you know, if I dropped $5,000, $10,000 on a mailer, it's out. It hits or it doesn't hit. And so for me, this was a brilliant marketing piece in that it's still an asset. It does. I can put it out there everywhere and it doesn't go away. So I loved that aspect of it. And as I got into what I would call more boots on the ground marketing. So when I got into our new state and got settled in Missouri, I started doing more face to face, getting out to networking, being a 3D person instead of just another person they saw online.
Yeah.
And I noticed within a month, when I was introducing myself, I would mention the photo bus in almost every first interaction because it was something different. Mm-hmm. And I would meet new people I hadn't met that would say, oh, you're the one with the bus. And that's all I needed it to be. I needed to be the thing they remembered. Yep. And that's been the highest value of it has been that in my marketing.
Mm-hmm. I love this so much. You know, also before we recorded this podcast, I was sharing the fact that I had a photo shoot this morning. And where we had this photo shoot was at a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And you saying people running into Jimmy John's and going to the bathroom. I had to do that this morning. I had to do this. And change my clothes. And guess what? Coffee shop bathrooms don't have clothing racks.
No, they don't have hooks or hangers. Full length mirrors.
My dress that I bought for this photo shoot, literally, I had no other choice. I could lay it in the wet sink, which obviously wasn't the good thing. I could kind of lay it on the trash can, which I really didn't want to do. Or I could hang it on the handicap hook, which meant that a good foot of it was laying on the bathroom floor.
Yes.
And as soon as I got in there, I was just like, ugh, like I don't want my clothes to be sitting on a public bathroom floor, but I also don't want to walk. I don't walk around barefoot. So I had to navigate changing shoes.
And trying to change shoes and not try to touch the public bathroom floor.
Like the whole bit of navigating this. So you telling this story today, like I have a very, like that happened today, like literally an hour and a half ago. When I was having to do that, I'm like, okay, note to self. Next time I do this, I need a portable clothing rack. I need maybe even if it's just a big trash bag to put on the bathroom floor or the changing room floor so that I can feel like I can step on it. I can put my shoe, like all that kind of stuff, because those aren't things that we think about until we are in that position. And that's one reason why I'm having these photo shoots taken, is because I really feel like me as a photographer had really lost track of what my clients go through.
Yes.
So what are the things that I can do that irritate me when I go on photo shoots? How can I eliminate those things for my clients? And those are things that are going to set apart. So I'm not going to buy a bus, but you just said, hey, I'm going to eliminate all these issues and I'm just going to buy a bus.
Yes.
which I love so much. So did you have to do very much renovating to it?
Not much. In the grand scheme of things, I was ready to take on a full renovation of fully functional bus into emptying out the seats, changing the floor. Sure. She had done all of that. It was painted white. It had beautiful wood accents. I basically had to undo some of what she had done, which she had done it brilliantly, which is why this was a genius. I was like, yes, we're going with this one. I don't have to do all of this time investment in it. But she had removable shelves, so we still kept those and we took them off. Obviously, I don't need very many shelves. I kept a couple. So when I do, it also doubled as a marketing piece. And when I first moved to the area, would do vendor events, and I would show up in the bus. And so I would have my albums and cards and things out on a couple shelves. I bought a couch that fits in the back of the bus. So adding things like that, we added a mirror because obviously she didn't have that in there. And we added curtains because
It's a changing area.
So I added curtains, and that was probably the biggest challenge, is figuring out how to let in a lot of natural light. Also be able to drive the bus, because looking out the back of a bus window is a necessity when you're driving it. And so we had to play around and add curtains that could be removed or pulled back completely, but still have a senior girl feel completely comfortable changing in the middle of a busy downtown area when she's might be completely changing. So that was our biggest addition. Some rugs, things to make it homey. But she'd done a really, really good job before us, which I was just thankful for not having to do the heavy lifting, the literal demolition.
Well, you see those shows on TV when they're renovating vans, and obviously you weren't putting in a kitchen and like those types of things.
Plumbing.
But you see just the work that is involved in the demo.
Yes.
Of the van. Like,
and I was ready to double down on that because we were looking at moving, basically doing it the same time we moved. So I was like, you know what? I don't have clients in Missouri. So if I don't have clients filling my time, then this project is going to fill my time. And my plan had been to market that. Come along with me. Hype it up. Do all of – and I did. The little bit that we did when we got the logo put on the bus, you know, I was doing tours and showing it and like little previews of what it's going to look like. And come see us here. Pop in. We actually just – I popped up my iPad and a ring light in it when I did a booth pop-up show. And so people could come in, like have a reason, come take a free selfie and in a little selfie booth to get some hype about it. So it's been a lot of fun. It's very noticed. And I actually just had my first 2024 senior of the season out in it this week. And she, you can tell when you get that smile, she's a very cool senior. You know, and I was like, that was cool.
I kind of like that. Yeah. I'm assuming that you have pictures of this like on your social media or on your website somewhere.
Yes. We have a social media dedicated completely to the bus.
What's that called?
Photobus by SJP on Instagram. And then I always tag her in when I'm out on session. That's how you know I'm out on session too, which I love. Yeah. You can tell. Obviously, she's not my daily driver.
I was going to say.
So I like that it gets that, oh, if you see me around town, it's because we're on a senior session. Yeah. So that hype is really nice as well.
Well, what we'll do is we will link to all of your website and your socials and everything. And we will include the Photobus account on show notes. So you guys, if you want to check this out and see what Sarah has done with this, definitely hit the show notes page and go to focalpointspodcast.com or blog.enphoto.com and get those show notes and we'll be able to link to it. So while we're talking about this, I'm going to take a really quick break so you guys can hear about this great album special from our friends at Enphoto.
All right, this seems like the perfect place for us to stop the conversation and remind you that if you have not signed up at Enphoto to get your 75% off a sample off their beautiful albums, you need to do that today. Enphoto creates beautiful handcrafted albums for your clients, and they're going to make you look great, and they're going to show your photos in a beautiful, beautiful way. If you have not signed up for that 75% off sample, you need to do that. To find the link, go to the show notes page, focalpointspodcast.com, and go ahead and sign up today.
Okay, so make sure you check out that album special from Enphoto. And Sarah has just gone through this whole podcast and told us some really, really great things about her photo bus and how it works as a marketing tool, how it elevates her client experience, and all those different things. And if you want to check that out, really, really make sure you check out the show notes for this episode. But she also does another really cool thing that I wanted to talk about. And I want to talk about your, I don't know what your initiative called, the lobby. Is that a good way to explain it? Tell us about the lobby. What is that for you?
So moving away from our studio, we have a 2,500 square foot custom design studio in Illinois. And our move back to Missouri was a move back to home, and it was not planned. We would not have built the studio had we thought, oh, in 2 years, then we'll also move away from it. So it is designed in a way that I had a waiting space in right through the front doors with coffee and refreshments and more of just a client holding area for our bigger shoot days that they could be in there and beautiful natural light. It was basically a gallery for us. So it had my images all over. And then a separate space right next to it was our viewing room, our meeting space. And then all the way down the hallway was actually the shooting room and the studio space. So when I moved away to Missouri, we kept that studio and we kept my business in Illinois, but all of my shooting became consolidated. Obviously, I'm not going back every Tuesday or here and there. So I'm going back with the same client load, but I'm getting everybody fit into 3 to 4 days, maybe 5 or 6 in the fall, where I'm back at the Illinois studio. And what I started to notice right away is that people, even though I was there talking about being there, booking sessions, is people started to question if we were there. I haven't seen anyone at the studio. You know, there was no one in the parking lot. I wasn't sure if you were still doing work here. There's no one there every time I drive by. And I was hearing this over and over again. And so the perception was that I wasn't there, even though we were still taking as full of a client load as if I had been in town.
Right.
So, and the really unused space was that lobby, because I was no longer doing huge event, all day Santa experiences, things like that, where I needed that holding space. And so I tried to figure out what we were going to do with it. And it's very open. So, you know, renting it out as an office wasn't really going to be part. It's really more of a lobby. That's exactly what we've always called it. That's what it was. And so I just sort of decided, and actually saw a event vendor that is in Missouri that does this with parts of her space. She sets them up as photo booths, and you can come in and you can rent the space with a photographer. If you want to bring in your own photographer, or the photographer wants to rent it for a mini shoot day, they can do this utilizing her. You know, she's an event space, so utilizing her space, you get that foot traffic through there. And I fell in love with that idea. Number one, for the foot traffic. I could get rid of that, hey, you're not there anymore. Yeah. All of that narrative I could get rid of, even though the people were not there to see me for a particular session. And then I have 20 years of photo props. I have so, like, I can stage a photo booth every day. Tell the cows to come home.
That is the unspoken blessing or curse of running a photography business, that after a period of time, you have a warehouse full of stuff.
Even
if you're not a studio photographer, even if you're just, if you do things outside, you're going to acquire the benches and the chairs and the blankets and like all of that stuff. I give my stuff away, and I did that about 2 years ago. I'm like, I can't keep all this newborn stuff anymore. I have to do it. So you were able to utilize all the stuff that you had on hand that was just sitting collecting dust somewhere, get rid of the appearance that you weren't in business there anymore, even though that you were, because you could people could see the flow of people coming in and out. You could make an income off that space. So I'm assuming that you weren't having to worry about the, you know, the rent or the lease or the mortgage anymore. And I'm assuming also by you opening that space up for a different type of purpose, you're also able to keep marketing so that when you do come into town for 3 or 4 days every month, maybe some of those people are actually booking with you. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm getting new foot traffic.
That's like the perfect scenario.
And it is still part of it. So when you're standing with the backdrop behind you, the other wall is my work. So it is people, and I've loved it. And it also allowed me to give some of my senior models and my preteen models some perks because I went from being in town where we could have tons of time to pop up and play and, you know, let's go do a shoot to now I'm not there as often. And when I am, it's a little more focused time. So allowing them saying, hey, yeah, if you're one of my senior models, you can pop into the lobby, make a reservation and you get that appointment for free. So they don't go by themselves. They bring their friends.
No. High school girls don't go anywhere by themselves for the most part, right?
They come in little, little clumps of friends. And so now those friends are getting more eyes on my space. Yeah. And it's the demographic that I want. It's those teen girls. And they are coming into the lobby on multiple occasions. And they're seeing what we can do with just one little space. Mm-hmm. And then we do not have the studio blocked off. There's just a little private. So they know that's our private studio. That is only available if you book a session with me. So it's that I'm getting in front of them, but on their own terms.
Yeah.
I'm not marketing at them. I'm literally not even marketing to them. I'm just everywhere.
You're just there.
I'm
right?
just there.
You know, you're just there. And you might have parents dropping them off and they see it too and picking them up or whatever. So that's so great. What a wonderful way for you to be able to be in two places at once, have different income generating activities in all of these places. Now, this might have to lead into a different podcast because this is a kind of a big question that maybe I think is a big question. Maybe you're thinking it won't be, but how do you logistically manage all like these things? Like your photography business, most people know how to manage a photography business and know that it takes a lot of time. You're out there marketing and that type of thing. So we know inquiries and how to deal with all that. How do you manage these two spaces? And I'm assuming that with this space, you also had to add at least one staff member, that type of thing. What type of change was that for you as far as handling all these things logistically?
Yeah. So honestly, it was a big sort of picking what road I wanted to go down. And when we first moved, we literally sold our house, moved into our camper. It was an adventure. Mm-hmm. And so what that gave me was a year to figure it out so that I didn't have to make any rash decisions. We literally didn't even have a mortgage so that we could take a breath, take a break, and reset. And I could have looked at that, and some days I looked at that as terrifying. I mean, I was starting all over after 20 years.
Yeah.
But I was able to look at that as an opportunity because how many of us get the chance to really pause and decide if the direction that we are going is the one we want to go in?
Mm-hmm.
And so I took time and I took a breath and I thought about that. I thought, you know, do I need to hire someone in Illinois? Do I need to have staff here? Do I need to have someone, an associate photographer, just take over the SJP name and run the Illinois studio? I went down a lot of different paths. And actually what I decided is that I like it to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Illinois, it became only me. And then I set about the logistics of what that schedule looked like because I'm very type A. I like to set my schedule, know what it's going to be. And it took 6 to 8 months to really get into a flow from what I had done for 20 years, which is what I would call on days and off days. So I would shoot on a Tuesday and I would not have anything on a Wednesday, and I would shoot on a Thursday and I would not have any clients on a Friday, or I would have shoot days and sell days. You know, I was very structured. And instead, I went to on weeks and off weeks. And I really figured out that I could be in Illinois for a week, shoot everything I would shoot for a month, Mm-hmm. And then the next week, my clients didn't expect anything. That's my prep week. Well, it's mm-hmm. my work week back here. So I'm at the desk. I'm in the office. I'm doing sales appointments via Zoom. I'm not shooting that week. Mm-hmm. And then the next week is a shoot week for Missouri. So that okay. I'm alternating each one mm-hmm. and they fit together perfectly like puzzle pieces. And it feels 100% less chaotic mm-hmm. because yes, during the first move, it was like, wait, I have a Missouri client on Tuesday, but then I have to be in Illinois on Friday and I have meetings and I need to get to networking events. And it was so heightened and flustered and felt like much easier to drop balls, whether or not I was. It always mm-hmm. felt like I was going to or on the
or brain. Like one step behind. Like you yes. always kind of feel like you're one step behind. You can't get caught up. Whether that's yeah. true or not is, you know, because we tell ourselves stories, but it feels yeah. that way. Yeah.
Yes. And I did not like that chaos. So I had to reinvent the schedule of what did work and what didn't work. Mm-hmm. And then also be open to things like the lobby. Like it took me probably 6 months or 8 months to be like, you know what? I don't have to hold on to the entire space as the same thing it had been or the purpose it was built for. I can let mm-hmm. that go and mm-hmm. embrace the other things it's going to bring along mm-hmm. with that. Yeah. And honestly, automation. I automate. The lobby is automated. Mm-hmm. Aside from me, when I go back to shoot my Illinois clients and have that session week, I switch out what it looks like. So we get a new look and then post about that new look. And then it sits that way for a month. Now, the spring might stay longer. This one is really yeah, pretty. Yeah. So I kind yeah. of changed it for Easter and it might morph and stay a little bit longer to summer. Mm-hmm. But it stays. And then I promote it and all of the booking, everything they need is all sent automatically.
You've just set it all up.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that definitely answers my question because I know that a lot of people can relate to that feeling of always be either behind or the overwhelm or the big, huge, long to-do list. And we do it to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times how we feel about it isn't necessarily the reality of the situation, but how we feel about it impacts how we act on it. And yeah. so understanding all those things, you know, I always tell like with my coaching clients, I'm always saying like, listen, you put the deadline on yourself. You did this to yourself. So what can we do to lessen this feeling of overwhelm? Well, let's not worry about this deadline. Let's work in an organized fashion and get things done when they need to get done. But we don't have to be so up in our feelings all about it because yeah. that feeling of overwhelm is so true, I think, for everyone. And especially and if you're
such
like
a valid feeling.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
figuring out like, yes, if I'm feeling like this is chaotic and I don't like it, then how am I going to shift what my schedule is so that I'm not feeling that way? Mm-hmm. And it took some trial and error. And honestly, I probably, if I look back over my schedule, I would guess that I hit the first sweet spot month on accident, where it was like, oh, sessions, no
sessions.
Well,
that's
sessions,
the way it happens,
sessions,
right? It
no
always
sessions.
Happens.
Yes.
It always happens on accident. It's never,
yes.
that's the way the best things come. It's like, oh, wait, this is working. Let me lean into this a little
and
bit more.
And it clicked and I was like, oh my gosh. Now I break my rule every once in a while. Mm-hmm. This is technically a no session week because last week was my Missouri sessions and I have a neighbor who needs a headshot. I can wrap my brain around that, but I mm-hmm. don't have a whole book of seniors this week when I just had last week. And so I can take a breather knowing, you know, I'm going to Illinois on Friday and that starts my Illinois session week. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that I'm in control, I know what's coming, and then I can decide. And usually that little voice in my head when I do say yes to a session on a not session week is going, You're going to be mad you did this, you know, and that listening to that voice and learning to listen to that voice, we don't have to yeah. take the session no. today. It right. can probably wait until the next mm-hmm. week or the next time that we decide is available.
Right. Right. That's super important. And honoring the boundaries that we set on ourselves, which I think so many of us are bad at doing, especially when we have people calling and wanting our services. We don't want to, you know, we're always operating in this, well, I need to take the session. I need to do this. I need to do this for them. And sometimes they're asking for it today, but they may not need it today. They maybe can wait until they fit into your schedule, but we're so worried about, well, if I don't do it exactly when they want or how they want, that they're not going to hire me. Well, that's not how other businesses do business. No. Like, and people are used to saying, oh, you know, guess what? I can't do this. So I do the same thing with my schedule. I have different links and so forth that I set out for different schedules. And like, if you want a headshot, you can do it on this day. If you want a session, you can do it on this day. If you want some coaching, you can do it on this day, and run it that way because that's what works best for me. But it takes a little trial and error. And yeah, usually it's not, to me, it's not a surprise anymore when I come up, when I come to the solution on accident.
Yeah. Right?
It just, it's like, oh, this is working. This is great. This is great. Well, I don't want to take up all of your time today, but I would love for us to close this out. And why don't you let people know where they can find you?
Yes. Well, I'm everywhere on social media. And really the hub is still my website. That's where we put everything. So sjanephotography.com. And I am sjanephotography on Instagram. And of course we have a side, seniors, because they take over the full Instagram. So sjanephotography seniors. Mm-hmm. And honestly, from those Instagrams, you can get to our bus, you can get to the lobby, and you can get to my personal Instagram is there as well.
Awesome. Well, we will make things a little bit easier for people. We will put all those links on the show notes page so that you're easy to find. So click through, everybody, if you're listening and you want to know how to find out more about Sarah Jane, about the lobby, about the photo bus, everything that she has available for photographers and in her studio. She's a really great resource for information, and you should definitely check her out. So Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. It was such a great, great, great way to connect and learn more about what you're doing for your business and for the industry. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and InPhoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.